Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Eric Clapton. You're on the Dana and Parks program. It's good to be with you on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. The sun has finally returned. Oh, my word.
It's beautiful out there.
Oh, my. What's the temp?
Around 62, 63 degrees.
We are going to visit at 3:15 this afternoon with the crew chief from the boat down in Arizona.
Lake Havasu.
They're on their way back to Kansas City, Missouri.
In a car, I hope.
Towing the boat.
They took a flight, didn't they?
They did.
Wait, is that boat made out of steel and reinforced? Like,
my guess is fiberglass?
Like carbon fiber.
How,
with
Dan,
fiberglass.
They were going 209 miles an hour, I think, where they topped before they went whoop de doop de doop de doop de doop.
They went airborne.
There's another word for what that was. It's not airborne. How did that thing not crash into a trillion pieces when it re-emerged and made contact with the earth?
That's a well-built boat.
Clearly. And then Scott said yesterday they ended up winning the race. Well, yeah, because they flew through the air for the final 300 yards.
Does that count? Or are you allowed to leave the water?
No, they got the trophy.
They won.
All right.
How are they alive? You guys, if you have not seen this video, it's everywhere, by the way. We had lunch today down at a little Mexican place on 75th Street. And we're sitting there and, you know, like ESPN's on the right and then some other channels on the left. And that boat is flying through the air as we're, like, this is making international headlines. What does it call when it goes end over end?
A mistake?
End over end. And it was, if you had to guess, how many feet up in the air?
Oh, that was a good 40.
Three stories, four stories.
40 feet in the air at least, 45.
And then the crazy thing is they have video inside filming the captain and the co-pilot
they got their
or whatever.
GoPros in there,
so
yeah.
Here's how it works inside these speedboats, according to the video that I saw. The guy on the left, if you're looking at the video, he's on your right. But the guy who sits left, he steers the boat, right? The guy on the right.
No one was steering that boat.
The guy on the right is the throttle.
Ah. Okay.
So the guy who is steering the boat is not in charge of the speed.
Okay.
He's just.
So they're doing the whole teamwork makes the dream work.
Right. And so the guy on the right, he's the one who pushes the throttle down farther and farther and
too
farther.
Too far.
Oh!
And so they're from Missouri.
They're
from Kansas City.
Yes.
Okay.
So their crew chief, Ryan Ola, is going to join us at 3:15 this afternoon.
I asked Dan when they were flying through the air looking down at all the people, is that what they said? Ola.
Ola.
They're waving. You could just see them in slow motion. They're waving.
Here's what else I want to know. Like, if you're in a rollover car wreck, boom, 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 like, you know what's happening. I'm sure they knew something about what was happening.
This is bad.
But to see it, did they feel, like, do you know how some people will say time stops when you're rolling?
Did they go weightless?
Did they? They would have to, Dan. No.
Okay, it's not the Bionic Man.
I felt like it, Scott.
No.
We can rebuild them.
We can rebuild him.
I also want to know.
I haven't heard that since the 70s.
I know, it's been a long time.
Is the interior of that craft a new shade of brown? I'm sorry, I have to ask. Someone crapped their pants. You
like
know they
like
did.
Like a dark brown?
Yes. I think your bowels release at the point that you are flying through weightless 7 or 10 tumbles.
I mean, do they even have time to start cursing?
I'm sure they do.
I mean, that was fast. The way it went airborne,
let's
flipped
count it.
Around and
Wait,
landed.
Can you pull up the video? Let's count how long was it in the air? Because I want to say it was like 3 seconds.
Okay, hang on. Let me get that for you. But keep in mind how close they came to shore. They were dangerously close to shore.
They wouldn't have known any of this. All they knew is 1 minute they were going 209 miles an hour, and the next minute seats were brown.
Okay, all right, all right. 1, 2, 3. They were in the air for 4 seconds.
4 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, yeah, that's a long time.
It goes boom.
Oh, there's the video of them
boom,
inside.
Boom, boom, boom. And then do they end butt in down or...
I mean, it's awesome we can laugh because they survived.
I don't know how they... In fact, at lunch, I looked at Johnny and I go, how did those dinglings survive that?
Max speed was 210 miles per hour.
They broke the sound barrier, Scott. I'm pretty sure. Something broke.
Supersonic.
So they ended up going in supersonic. Upside down, but the front of the boat hit first.
I wonder if the other boaters are like, not fair. They flew through the air.
I agree. It's sort of cheating, accidentally.
So I'm sorry, funny. I can't watch this without laughing.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, they do a lot of these types of races there at Lake Havasu often.
In Arizona.
Yeah.
I have zero knowledge of the speed boat racing world.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. I didn't know they could even go 200 miles an hour and fly through the air for 4 seconds.
Well, I think we're about to find out a lot more about the speedboat racing world than we ever thought we would ever know.
With Mr. Ola.
When Ryan Ola.
I love that
como
name.
Está, joins us at 3:15 this afternoon. I have so many questions.
Well, like also what metrics, like does the boat have a black box? And when you open the black box to see what happened, does the black box just say, oh, hell.
Oh,
no, this
no.
one's a brown box. Yeah.
Get out of your studio right now. Get out. So he'll be joining us soon. Netflix is, so during COVID, I think a lot of us started watching subtitles on TV. Did you not?
Which one?
Subtitles.
Oh, I can't live without them.
Right. So Netflix is coming out with a new package for subtitles because they know that everybody now is watching TV programs with subtitles.
I even like the one that says eerie, intense music.
Okay, now that's exactly where I'm going.
I like it.
You have the option of opting out.
I will not opt out.
Ambient sound. So, for example, it'll say, you know, which way are we going? Door slams.
I love the door slams.
You can opt out now of the door slams or ambient music.
Why would anyone opt out?
Scary sounds.
It'll say eerie something. Right. I want to know, this is my question. Who is the person in Hollywood, Dan, that comes up with the verbiage to match the ambient sound?
Okay.
Because some of them are hilarious.
So ominous, they're squelching.
There are words, that, honest to God, there are words.
Ominous squelching.
There are words that I never knew existed. For example, I saw this one the other night. Goat whittling.
Goat whittling.
And I'm like, what is a goat whittle? And then
here's one.
Whatever it wants to.
Stares angrily. They've made a list of captioned silences and ambient sounds. And some of them are very, very funny, like stares angrily.
So we were watching as we were coming back from Cancun on Friday night. We were watching on T's phone the last few episodes of Designated Survivor that we hadn't finished. Apparently, she has it queued up for the blind. I'm not kidding you.
Okay.
And so you hear all of the conversations between Kiefer Sutherland's character and all the other characters. But then when there's a break in the dialogue, you hear this deep, really, I mean, almost a Dan Weinbaum kind of voice go, Anne turns and looks angrily.
Oh, so there's a job out there?
Yes.
I want that job.
And it's almost...
want that job.
And I look at T and I go, are we watching the blind broadcast? What is going on? And she goes, I don't know how I did this, but we're on the blind broadcast. And it says, Eric pulls gun from holster.
Describing what
everything that's going on
would see.
Dan,
or not
from one of the subreddits on this, my favorite subtitle was in an episode of Doctor Who, and it just said, watery crunch. My husband and I now use this phrase all the time for any weird noise we hear.
It's close to a squelch.
Watery crunch.
Here's one. I used to work in closed captioning, and I love have captions on, laughing at them. My absolute favorite where I worked was an episode of Preacher where a crow is eating out of a Chinese takeout box, and it read, in parentheses, eating Chinese food.
Oh, that's the word.
It's one of the most important jobs, isn't it?
Yes!
It wasn't whittling. I'm sorry. It was goat bleating.
Bleating. That's what goats do. They bleat.
They bleat. Yes. Goat bleating.
Here's one. Sobbing mathematically.
Guinea pig weaking. No, that's the sound that a guinea pig makes, is weaking. Guinea pig weaking.
I want this job.
It's probably a rather tough job to do, though. I mean, you have to be very clever with your words.
What does an alpaca make?
An alpaca mews.
No. An alpaca orgles.
Oh, it orgles.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of orgling going on.
A lot of orgling. All right, so we have this great... I wonder if they were orgling in the boat. Was that an orgle?
A chicken clucks.
Like a bleat.
A chicken clucks.
When we get back, we are going to talk to the crew chief of the orgling boaters who went head over heels. And then after that, I completely forgot. I have a run, do not walk for everybody. Okay. It is a run, do not walk.
All right, Dana Wright. Logan Weber.
Everyone orgle at once. One, two, three.
I have no idea what I just did. Dan Weinbaum, my name's Scott Parks here in KMBZ. Story here from Fox 4. A harrowing video is making its way around the internet, and it's nearly impossible to watch without gasping. A powerboat barreling across Lake Havasu in Arizona at speeds nearing 210 miles per hour suddenly launches more than 60 feet into the air before crashing back into the water. What follows is nothing short of jaw-dropping. Now we know that the crew at the center of the high-speed chaos is from right here in Kansas City, Missouri. We're waiting to get the crew chief back on the phone, Ryan Ola.
And they won. They won the race.
Quoting here from Ryan Ola, we did win this race. We took home the trophy. We got the hardware. Ryan Ola joins us on the KMBZ hotline. Ryan, hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Oh, man, Ryan, we're so glad everybody's okay. We have so many questions for you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
So, did the two colleagues of yours inside the boat know that they were airborne for 4 seconds?
Yeah, they actually said it felt like it was an eternity. They were up there spinning around, flipping around, and they knew it was quite a ways.
And you won.
Yeah, we never imagined that we'd take home the hardware, you know, upside down and backwards across the finish line. But, hey, I guess we're never supposed to win.
So there's going to be a rule about this next year, Ryan.
So Dana and I are not proficient.
Might disqualify us or whatever, but, you know, there's no rules against how we won. Okay. So we got the hardware.
So Dana and I are not proficient in speedboat racing. But it doesn't matter how you get across the finish line as long as you do, apparently.
For this particular race, it seems that's the case.
So this was an 8,000-horsepower boat. I assume that means it goes very, very fast, even on the ground. One they spent months preparing when it took flight. Can you help explain what is that thing made out of, that when it returned to Earth and slammed into water, it somehow is... by and large, intact?
So this is a purpose-built drag boat built by Skater Power Boats in Michigan. So we went through them because they build the nicest boats in the country, in our opinion. And it's basically a carbon fiber and fiberglass hull with a safety capsule for the driver. So, you know, safety is number one concern. We know the risks when we're doing stuff like this, and the kind of speeds we want to run. You know, all we do is make sure that it's built to survive, you know, the kind of crash that it just went through. So the boat did exactly what it was supposed to do, and our drivers walked away. You know, we call them John Wayne and Clint Eastwood. Injuries, considering, you know, the extent of the damage and how horrific.
Ryan, real quick, and you're cutting out. I hope we can get you back here. The boat right before it went airborne hit 210 miles an hour. Is that normal? What would a record speed be? If you, like, stayed on the water, what would a record speed be?
So at that race, 204 miles an hour was the top speed, but this is the first year they did a 40-mile-an-hour start. So I believe we have the speed record at Lake Havasu shootout with a 40-mile-an-hour start speed. The boat was built to break 240 miles an hour in a three-quarter mile course.
Has anybody gotten it to 240 miles per hour?
So there was a boat several years back at Lake of the Ozarks that set the speed record on a one-mile course, and they ran 244 miles an hour.
Oh my God.
Since it's been shortened to a three-quarter mile course for safety, I believe 221 miles an hour is the fastest speed recorded.
Wow.
Now, did I see it correctly in the video from the cockpit of this boat? The guy on the left steers, and the guy on the right does the throttle. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. It requires two drivers to operate this machine.
And then, Ryan, you guys are a nonprofit. It's powered by private donations. Crew is entirely volunteer, and every dollar you raise goes to charity. That's incredible.
Yeah. So it's a privately funded operation. So basically the boat is maintained outside of donations. We set up a 501c for the race team, and all donations, all proceeds from merch sales and everywhere we go gets donated right back to charity. So our two charities are St. Jude's and Wounded Warriors. Then whenever we go to a race, we'll support a local charity. So this event, we raised over $11,000 for the local Kiwanis Club, and then we gave our $7,500 winnings back to the Desert Storm charity of their choice.
Wow.
Man, that is incredible, you guys.
That is incredible. What happens with the boat? Can you go fishing on that thing now, or no? Probably not.
At the moment, we're not real sure. There's a lot of damage. We're actually driving back from the race right now. We're getting ready to cross into Texas, and we're going to get it back to our shop. We're going to pull the engines, the transmissions, and stuff, and then we're going to send it back to Skater Power Boats so they can do an evaluation and decide if they can fix it or if we need to start over.
You got insurance on that thing?
Crazy part is, yeah, we do have liability, but it does not cover anything on the track.
Well, here's the deal, Ryan. The manufacturer of that boat is going to want to use that video in every single advertisement from here till the end of time. Like, look at what we can do.
Takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
Yeah, the Skater Power Boats, we love the family up there, and they build amazing products. So we're happy with how it survived. You know, the drivers are ready to get back in and do it again. And part is, you know, we're kind of a family that has turned into, you know, this charitable organization. And we just absolutely love what we're doing.
Are you hauling the boat behind you right now?
Yeah, we have made the boat roadworthy on the trailer. We had a company actually come in and donate their time to shrink wrap the whole boat so it kind of stays together, and we're dragging the country as we speak.
Well, Ryan, you guys be careful. You might be able to shrink wrap a boat, but you can't shrink wrap that crew. We're just thrilled that everybody is alive and safe, and keep doing what you're doing, because it's an inspirational story as well.
Thank you. We really appreciate all the love and support we've got. And I would like to just plug our website. So if you go to freedomoneracing.com, you can donate. We don't care if it's a dollar, $5, $10, anything that you give gives to charity. And then we also have a YouTube channel, Freedom One Racing, that we just put out a little short documentary that kind of explains the backstory, the crew, and why we do what we do. So
all spelled out, Ryan, Freedom One.
Yeah. Yes, that is correct.
Freedom1Racing.com. We'll put that on our social channels as well.
So, Ryan, you were not in the boat when it went airborne. Is that correct? You're the crew chief.
I'm not really the crew chief. Like I said, we're all a big team. There's no one person more important than the other, but I am part of the crew. And like I said, this is a purpose-built drag boat, so it's not made to cruise down the lake. It's basically two blown alcohol Pro Mod engines in a really light, fast boat. So we actually tow it to the starting line, get it lined up. We'll fire up the two engines, and we hop on the tow boat. The 388 Skater, America One, makes its pass, and then we follow directly behind so we can catch them on the end of the race and tow them back to the trailer. So we literally witness this from directly behind the boat.
We got to run. We're getting late. Yes or no, when they got back on shore, did they need new underpants?
They did not need new underpants. When I first talked to them, all they said was, did we win?
Wow.
All right. All right, we love it, man. Ryan, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
All right, that is Ryan Ola with Freedom One Racing. You've seen the video. It has gone viral. It is everywhere, this race. They're from Kansas City, Missouri. They were on a lake in Arizona, and that boat went airborne. Quick break, 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
I have a run. Do not walk.
Where are we going?
It has just surpassed Severance in popularity. If that tells you anything, because my children are obsessed with Severance. So is Sam Stevie. And we were clicking around the other night looking for something new to watch. And it was a John Hamm drama of Mad Men fame, right?
Top Gun Maverick.
He plays a man named Andrew Cooper, a recently divorced bajillionaire hedge fund manager who loses his job. And I'm not giving anything away here. He loses his job. He drives one of those cars, Scott, that is so fancy, I don't even know what it is. It's like a McLaren. I don't even know what it is.
Okay.
That's how much wealth we're talking about.
What's
here.
What's it on? Netflix?
Apple TV. He decides, because it's about excess, all the country clubs and the fancy cars. He runs in those circles. And one day he comes across a watch. It's like $275,000 watch. And he knows the person who has that watch in a drawer with several others is not going to miss it. And since he is out of a job, he starts robbing from his friends.
What's the name of it?
It is called Your Friends and Neighbors. Here's some of the trailer. Okay. That is the pawn shop dealer, because these are what, this isn't a Rolex, Scott. This is the kind of wealth, right?
Yeah.
The country club is $100,000 a year. This is wealth beyond wealth. And what he knows as part of that environment and community is that the alarms aren't on. They have so much stuff, they're not going to miss one of their $200,000 watches because they have 15.
If he's a hedge fund manager who, by the way, those guys make billions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
He doesn't have enough money to go more than 6 months?
Wife took everything in the divorce.
Okay.
Played expertly by Amanda Peet, one of my favorite actresses. Olivia Munn is in it. It is run, do not walk.
Okay.
And I hate that I told you it was about a burglary, but you're going to see that everywhere. We just went in and watched it cold. And you're thinking, okay, this guy's down on his luck.
But, movie or series?
Series. Boo-hoo. He's a millionaire. And then the first time he takes one of those watches, you're going, oh, my God, he's going to be a burglar.
He's a thief.
He is a thief. Well, he's sort of a burglar, too.
So he breaks in?
Yes, Scott, because he knows he's been in all these houses because all of it. He's robbing from his
friends,
and inner neighbors. Circle of bajillionaires.
Hmm. Don't tell me if he gets caught. I don't want to know.
I don't know. We're only on number two. It was one of those nights last night where Johnny was like, I think you want to go to bed? I'm tired. And I was like, could we just watch one more?
How many is it?
Like we've got four already. And then it says a new one each week. So it's one of those ones that like, once we get caught up, it's going to make you wait. You can't just binge it.
See, and I like that, by the way. Because in the early days of streaming, they would drop an entire series in one day. They did that with Lasso in the beginning.
Yeah.
They didn't at the end. And it drove me crazy because then I end up binging like 5-6 episodes on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Right? I like to wait.
Oh.
Where you have to wait until, it reminds me of, you know, being a kid and you're watching.
Here comes Knott's Landing. What's going on with that Sue Ellen on Dallas?
Who killed JR? Well, you have to wait till next season, dum-dum.
I agree. I agree completely. That's so hard for me because I'm a part of that generation where I'm 27. So I grew up watching shows on TV where you had to wait week after week after week. I've got younger siblings that didn't really have to experience that. My younger sister has always experienced catching the entire season day it comes out.
That's no fun.
And I don't like it either. I mean, and I can't help it that I don't have the self-control that if it is that way, that the whole season comes out in one day, I am going to sit down and watch the whole thing, even though that's not my preference
at
all.
But if they leave you with a cliffhanger, and the greatest of the cliffhanger was the show 24 with Kiefer Sutherland back in the early 2000s. And those cliffhangers were so good, you would count the days.
Until you had to
until
watch
there was
the
another 24.
Yes.
And it brought a level of excitement in. I mean, if all you have to do is say, you want to watch another one?
Yeah.
There's no excitement in the cliffhanger.
One of the taglines for this show that John Hamm actually saw on a billboard, and he said it made him chuckle. It says, you know, your friends and neighbors. And then the tagline was, you don't know what you're missing.
That's pretty good.
And he said, as a former fictional ad guy from Mad Men, I really enjoy that tagline.
That's really good. You don't know what you're missing.
Run, don't walk, man. I'm telling you.
Okay. Is the entire series out? Because we just finished Designated Survivor over the weekend. Which, by the way, can I say something very quickly about that show?
That, after four episodes, I was like, all right, I get it. I'm done.
No, it's a great show.
Okay.
So I loved Designated Survivor. I thought anything Kiefer Sutherland does to me is gold.
Yeah.
And I thought 24 was brilliant. Designated Survivor was great. The season finale of Designated Survivor was the worst TV show I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
It sucked.
That's one of those shows to me that the exciting thing happens at the beginning and then there's nowhere to go but down.
No, it was good. I mean, I thought it was good. But the final episode, they wrap up all the loose ends. Everything turns out great. He wins re-election. It's boring. And I'm like, we literally spent hours and hours of our lives watching this show for that?
I know.
That's
what people said about the last White Lotus. Sometimes I wonder if the writers come up with this great, it's going to be a Designated Survivor. We're going to take one person out. The Capitol's going to blow up, like all this stuff. And then it's going to be all about that. And then they write themselves into a corner. And you know, we had the beginning. Mm-hmm. We sort of had the middle. How do we end this thing?
See, but, you know, and I came into The Sopranos late.
Oh, God, it's
like
so good.
20 years late. And just watched it like 3 years ago. And I actually thought the finale for Sopranos was brilliant.
Was fitting. Mm-hmm.
When it fades to black.
It made a lot of people mad.
Well, I know, but the whole point is, guess what? You get to use your imagination.
I don't want to do that. I just want you to tell me what happened.
What's it going to be? Does he die? Does he get away? I mean, you don't know. That I loved the fade to black on Sopranos. I thought it was great. With Designated Survivor, he wins re-election. They stop the biohazard. Blah, 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 blah. It's boring.
Meh. I struggle with it because I went into Designated Survivor expecting it to be sort of like Scandal on ABC for years and years, or The West Wing prior to that, right? It's like it's a political show, and it never felt like the political side of it played in. And the fact that it was only a couple of seasons, I kind of agree with you, Dana. Like,
I didn't love it.
They hit with like this massive story in the beginning, and it always felt like they were trying. Yeah, they're trying to solve the conspiracy, but Kiefer Sutherland's the president. Like, show what he's doing a little bit. I don't know. It felt strange in a lot of ways.
Remind me, Logan, what was the one with Kevin Spacey and
House of Cards?
House of Cards was probably the best. I think the best political thriller drama out there. Some people would say West Wing is the best political show. I thought House of Cards was brilliant. That kept me for every single season. I watched House of Cards.
All right, we'll check it out. Your friends and neighbors.
Your friends and neighbors.
On Apple TV.
You don't know what you're missing.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Really quick, Scott, coming up, there are a lot of questions after the murder of one of our firefighters. Mm-hmm. Just a devastating story this week. Mm-hmm. Absolutely devastating story. They've announced a public memorial is going to be held. And then I got a text from a friend of the show today, and they said, look, we would like to come on and explain how bond works in the state of Missouri. A lot of people are asking, and I think fairly and rightfully so, how in God's name is the woman accused of murdering this young firefighter? How was she ever even out of jail when she was accused of assault against a law enforcement officer, what, 48 hours before? And there are very specific rules and reasons why she was given, I believe, a $10,000
bond. That's right.
Posted it, and then almost right away, murders
within 24 hours.
The firefighter, and then bites down on another police officer's arm who was trying to get her out of the ambulance that she was trying to commandeer after stabbing him to death. I mean, it's just the city is reeling right now.
Sure.
And I think we can help answer that question in the 4 o'clock hour.
All right. In the 5 o'clock hour, if you've seen the news today, it's all over the place. An F-18 on a cruiser in the Red Sea tips overboard.
Poop.
It literally fell off the aircraft carrier.
It's $64 million if you can picture what it looks like dropping into the water.
Think Top Gun.
Yeah.
And they parked the car.
They parked it.
They parked the plane, and next thing you know, it just goes over the side of the ship. Commander Jesse Reed, former Top Gun pilot, is going to join us at 5:15 this afternoon to explain how in the hell a $65 million plane just falls off the side of a ship.
It was aircraft carrier Harry S. Truman.
That is correct.
It was on the Truman.
That's right. They're in the Red Sea, and they have been engaged in combat with the Houthis in Yemen. And apparently, the carrier took a hard turn to avoid some fire. And the plane and the tractor pulling it on the hangar deck.
Down she goes.
Went off over the side.
Did any sailors go with it?
No.
No.
Thank God.
They were able to jump off in time.
No, we'll talk to Jesse about that straight ahead because it's just, I said to Scott during a break yesterday, I go, how in the Sam Hill does that happen?
One of the questions, Dan, stick around. Do we, by we, I mean the U.S. military, do we go down and try to recover at least some of the important
avionics?
Yes. Out of that plane before anybody else gets to it?
I would think that they would try to run a salvage operation to retrieve as much as they can.
I have simpler questions. Can. Like, does it float when it goes down?
It does not float.
Okay.
No, it'll sink.
Well, you know, the Miracle on the Hudson, they had a little bit of time.
Yeah, this one probably had a couple seconds, too.
Got it.
And then bloop, 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 bloop.
That is such a precise best of the best of the best in the world at what they do. I said to Scott yesterday, you just don't hear about this happening because they are all of the crews that are responsible on those carriers for the aircraft, the pilots, all the way down to, you know, the guy with the lights going, okay, yep, yep, yep. They are the best of the best of the best in the world. That's why this is so
unusual.
Until
you take a sharp left.
Right?
They turn that wheel.
I'm not laughing. I'm only laughing because nobody got hurt.
Right.
I mean, we only lost $65 million, but whatever.
It was just one of those timing things.
That timing's important, Dan, when you're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you say it was being...
It was being towed.
It was being towed, what, into position where they could park it?
Right, yeah. Of course, you got the flight deck on the carrier, and then down below, you've got the hangar deck where they stow all the aircraft, and you have to park them in a certain way. It's you know, like a parking garage.
Very meticulous. Basically. You have to be very careful.
Exactly. And so they've got, you know, the crew down there, the sailors, they have their little tractors, and they'll pull it out and move it around.
What does it sound like when they do that? Okay.
What did it sound like when it went in the water?
Bloosh. And then they pull the plane out, they put it on the elevator, and they take it up the flight deck.
We've seen Top Gun.
That's right.
To tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. a letter card penned by one of the Titanic's most well-known survivors from onboard the ship.
Wow.
Days before it sank, has sold at auction for $399,000.
Wow.
In the note written to the seller's great uncle on April 10th, 1912, first class passenger Archibald Gracie wrote of the ill-fated steamship, quote, "It is a fine ship, but I shall await my journey's end before I pass judgment on her." Huh. The letter was sold to a private collector from the United States on Saturday, according to the auction house. The hammer price far exceeded the initial estimate price of £60,000. The letter is believed to be the sole example in existence from Gracie from onboard the Titanic, which sank, as you know, after hitting an iceberg, killing roughly 1,500 people, including what's-his-face. Auctioneer Andrew Aldridge described...
Mr. Astor?
No, the... Jack.
Got it.
There was room on that door.
I agree!
We all know there was room on the door for Jack. By the way, today is the 29th of April. Tomorrow marks, personal note here, the 50th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. Tomorrow. 50 years.
Wow.
Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming your way in 2 minutes. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. She is Dana Wright. He is Logan Weber. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.